Bad Motivators.
Shit, yes.
What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 319 of the Bad Motivators. I, of course, am disgusted by how the production meeting has gone for this show. My name is Eric Strahlers, and with me, as always, is my excellent co-host, one Mr. Luke Cruiser.
Hey there.
Well, buddy, we were just celebrating an excellent review we got on Apple Podcasts, but I suspect whoever left it is hovering over delete right now after hearing the beginning of this.
Look, if you give a 5-star, like, I think you're legally not allowed to take it back.
Yeah, that's binding in most states. Yeah. Speaking of stars, man, give us stars on Spotify. If you use Spotify and you like this podcast, even if you don't listen to the podcast on Spotify, hop over there, start an episode and give us 5 stars. And while you're at it, jump on Dinner with the Healers, the podcast I do with my wife and kids about Bluey, and throw me 5 stars on there because somebody has thrown a wrench in that thing. And inexplicably, it's only got like 4.3 stars.
It's always somebody, dude.
Yeah.
Just dickheads.
Well, yeah. And listen, if you're doing that to me, just remember I have a wife and kids that you're doing it to. So don't be a dick.
And just and if you are doing it to him, just know he has a particular set of skills.
Yeah,
skills,
I do.
Skills that have trained him for a lifetime of finding people like you.
Yes. So I will hunt you down. But how's things, man? Everything good?
Yeah, man. Things are going pretty good. I got That's to watch you make an epic lightsaber on stream the other day. That was good fun. Yeah. And I've been doing reaction videos on our YouTube page. We got 5 videos up now. They're doing pretty well. So go check that out. Apparently it's good times.
That's cool.
You never know when it's yourself doing it. If you do think they're awesome, you're probably a psychopath. But
these are great and everybody should be checking them.
Everybody's gonna love these.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my God.
But the reaction has been good. So, okay.
Yeah, listen. So I've been streaming saber building on Fridays whenever I'm off, and it's been really cool, man. I mean, for one, I'm being productive and I'm doing something crafty, and it's been great. I've been working on this saber for our friend Hawes Burkhart, which, by the way, happy belated birthday. We recorded right before Hawes' birthday, and our episode came out immediately after Hawes' birthday. Mm-hmm. But and also a big happy birthday to my buddy Luke Cruiser. We'll just get it all out in the open. I failed to come through on getting a hold of him on his actual birthday. But luckily, he was classy enough to not bring it up until somebody else did on my Saber stream. And, you know, hey, listen, I love that dude. And happiest of birthdays to Luke. I hope it was awesome and great.
It was not a bad birthday. Like I said, I got the mention on the show last week that me and the wife and I got to go have an adult Saturday night and overnight stay without the children. So that was the best birthday one can have when you get to our ages, right? So children. Man. Yeah. So that's all that mattered to me. But yes, it was turning 37 wasn't so bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, listen, man, age is just a number.
Mm-hmm.
Just here's some advice for people in case you don't know. Number one, you're never too old to like stuff that's supposed to be for kids, right? Yeah. Star Wars, prime example, allegedly supposed to be for kids. In reality, tons of grownups like it. I'm going to be 50 this year and I still feel young at heart. That's a thing. The birthday is really just more of a celebration of the blessing you've been to the world for the last X number of years. For example,
it's just your day, man. It's your day.
Yeah. This year I'll turn 50, and that is a celebration of the blessing I've been to the world for the last 2 years. Because the other 48, I was worthless. But seriously, in all seriousness, that never goes away. The imposter syndrome. I'm going to like mention it. This is the fourth time I've mentioned it. I'm going to be 50 in October. And there are still days where I'm very concerned that everybody's going to figure out I'm just some dumb kid who doesn't know what I'm doing.
Do you ever think the biggest people? I honestly probably not. I was gonna say, do you think they, like, the richest people in the world ever feel that way, or they did not care because they got all that money?
I think people who have become successful through their hard work or ideas or whatever and come into a lot of money always secretly worry it was a fluke, that they're really not as good as the people around them tell them they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But regardless, so back to the stream and the saber build. It's been a lot of fun, man. Lightsabers are neat. We all love lightsabers. If you're listening to this show, I bet you like lightsabers. Drop in and watch one getting built. It's been really cool.
Yeah, I mean, if you didn't show up last time, you got to you missed him cut a guy in half. It was crazy.
It was something.
It was crazy and awesome at the same time. Yeah. As Eric says all the time, the violence was very good. So I have to say, he did not disappoint. Yeah.
So, well, hey, man, while we're right here and we're talking about birthdays and people getting stuff and whatnot, why don't we talk about this joint right now? Oh, yeah. And just so if anybody doesn't know, if this is one of your first times listening to the show, that theme is courtesy of our good friend, Robbo, friend of the community, friend of the show, friend of mine. So thank you for making such an excellent, excellent segment theme.
And but a very succinct one. Succinct.
Yes. Tight and to the point.
Yes. And always appreciate it.
Yeah. So, Cruiser. Yes, you had a birthday, man. Tell us.
I did.
Tell us the what.
Well, I think I've told you before, like, the wife and I, we're not like super mega gift givers. It's just not kind of our thing. We're always we're not big fans of wasted gifts. Like, it's kind of like a thing. Like it's the notion, right? It's the act of buying somebody something that, like, you thought about them and whatnot. And the thing is my wife and I both came to the conclusion a long time ago that there's very few things that we know that we bought each other would be like the idea that I gave you something's nice, but the thing is, then I just gave them something that they have to, like, very secretly and discreetly get rid of one day. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes.
Sure, man.
Yeah. Sure. So, like, it's one of those things. Like, my wife gave up getting me Star Wars stuff, like, a long time ago, because she was like, you just should just buy what you want to buy, because I got no idea what the hell you want.
Yeah.
There's some real wisdom in that. Yeah. You have a good system, right? You just tell her or put it in an Amazon cart or something. Mm-hmm. Like, this is what I want. Like, you know, get it for me when you do, but make it soon because I want it pretty quickly. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Let's not mess around. Because here's the thing, man. You know, like I do, in the circles you run in, you're the Star Wars guy.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, the friends that you have the obligation of gift giving. And the very fact that I had to throw in the word obligation tells you that it's maybe a tradition we should bring to a close.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm the Star Wars guy. And so people are like, well, this says Star Wars on it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get him this. And I've gotten some cool stuff. But at the same time, I've got stuff that, like, whilst there is some coolness to it, it's impractical. And now it's just
something you wouldn't buy yourself.
Right. And now it's just going to go get stacked somewhere and not be appreciated or utilized.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's really easy to end up with a whole bunch of stuff like that. But
yeah, no, and like, and it still goes to show, like, it's the whole, like, it's the thought that counts, right? It really is. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you thought of me enough to get me something, you know, is great. Like, still one of the best things I got for my birthday, of any birthdays, is when you got me that classic AT-ST. It's still sitting back there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's because it's a cool thing from the past that I don't have. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. It's from something that's not made anymore. It's cool. And, like, it was so cool that you wanted to keep it yourself. You're like, God damn it, yeah. I should have not got this for him. And it was the last time I think we got each other gifts.
Well, that was back whenever I was playing lots of gigs, man, living in the land of milk and honey.
But, like, you know, I tell you one thing, you're like, who fucking cares? Just a hat. This hat I'm wearing right here, this Colts hat, you would not believe the journey I've been on to get this stupid fucking hat. And you want to know why? I went to, because you know, as I know, we both have big fucking heads, right? And these are fitted hats. That's what's ones I like. I don't like the snapbacks. I just like the fitted ones. Mm-hmm. And there's this one right here. Like I wanted a Colts hat, but most of them really fucking suck. They're just dumb. They look dumb. The Colts have a very poor branding, in my opinion. And there's this one right here is very, very low key. It's black on the top and it's got blue on the outside and it's got a patch on the side that has the Pro Bowl of my birth year. And I happened to see it when we were in Indianapolis on our date night, you know, for our birthdays, and they didn't have my size. And there was two lid stores in this mall, and neither one of them, they both had the hat, neither my size. Like, okay, I look online, it's nowhere, right?
There
nowhere.
Were two lid stores in this same mall?
Yeah, it's Circle Center Mall in Indianapolis. It's like this, whatever, it's like lids. It's a dying mall now. It used to be this really fucking cool mall in the middle of the city. But there's your standard lids, and then there's this one that's like a lids plus like clothes, like other stuff.
Okay.
But like, yeah, clearly ran by the same people. But like, by the same like, you know, anyways. And then I went to Lids is failing or not able to keep people, right? Because I went to the one, it's close to my house, and on a Sunday afternoon, like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and it said we'll be back soon. I'm like, what? Like, this is a shopping time, buddy. Like, what do you think you're doing? And then I waited for like 20 minutes, went around. No, we'll be back soon. None of this. It wasn't like that toy store where we went and where'd we meet up? Where was that?
Terre Haute.
Yeah. It wasn't like that. We're like, there was clearly just one dude with a hope and a dream trying to get this thing going. You know what I mean? It wasn't like that. This was like a franchise. And nobody ever showed up. And when I went and I looked up reviews online, it was like, there's nobody ever there. Nobody's ever here. It always just says, we'll be back soon. Or somebody like one time at 3:30 in the afternoon, so I'm going on my lunch. It was two people. And somebody's like, hey, it's Saturday. And they're like, yeah, that sucks, huh? And they just left.
Oh my gosh, man.
Yeah. So luckily I went there last Saturday and they had my bowling ball size head there, and I felt like it was you know what, you know why I bring this up, because it's like collecting, right? When you're looking for that one thing and you can't find it, and it trips that you son of a bitch, I want that thing, mm-hmm. and then you go online and you, like even on I couldn't even find it on eBay. I'm like, what the hell? Why is this hat so goddamn special? I couldn't find it anywhere, and like. Yeah, luckily they had it in my fat ass head size. I almost bought it in the size above too, just be like, fuck everybody, I'm taking both these, but I didn't.
You know, while we're talking here, all right, let's back up a little bit. You just mentioned collecting, and mm-hmm. I'll get to what I got in a minute.
Okay.
We talk about collecting, and this used to be a segment where literally every week, almost always, we would all, when Dallas was on the show too,
yeah,
get some toy mm-hmm. every week. And I remember Steele mentioning that Jackie and he were listening to the show, and she's like, so they get toys every week.
Yeah, we had a problem.
Yeah, and I am paying for that problem still. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about what made collecting less fun. And, you know, I want this right now.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things we've talked about is how Mandalorian season 2 mm-hmm. was ended 2 years ago. Is that correct?
Pretty close to
2020,
that.
2020, yeah. Right?
I think so. I don't want to be called out. It might be 2021. I could be wrong.
Look that up while I'm talking.
I will. I'll look it up. Keep talking.
But regardless, it's been a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's still up for pre-order from Hasbro?
What?
The Luke Skywalker from the season finale.
Jeez.
Still not a thing.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
You were right. December 18, 2020. Holy shit.
Yeah. 2 years and some change. And that mm-hmm. figure is still not something. I've had it on pre-order from Hasbro Pulse ever since it was offered.
How is that a thing?
I just don't know, sir. And so like one of the things I did is I had pre-ordered several of the things from the Kenobi series. And I've been rewatching Kenobi because I put it on this giant TV I have right here because I build lightsabers right through that wall. and I angle it so I can see it. And I'm watching Kenobi and I'm like, oh my gosh, this show is so great. And wow, it really had an impact on me and so on and so forth. And then I remember how I had pre-ordered the Ned B, the robot, the loading robot guy. And
yeah, I saw that at Target.
Did you see it there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it'll be on clearance soon. And some other, the Tala.
Yeah, because it's like $40, like $35. Oh, geez. Like
and so, yeah. And then Tala and all this stuff. And I remember thinking, I pre-ordered that and then canceled the pre-orders. Mm-hmm. Because by this point, it's been now close to a year since that came out. Getting close to a year.
Yeah.
Right?
About eight months.
Yeah. Kind of. And only now are the figures out there.
And yeah, they had a Ben Kenobi in like his like worker outfit kind of like that bluish color. And they had the Ned B, and I think that was the only ones I saw there. But yeah,
and it's like that's bonkers.
Yeah,
that's what made me not want to collect anymore. And the thing is, I still think that these toys are cool and have so much potential. Like I look at my Razor Crest, that thing is awesome. I look at this Falcon and that thing is awesome. Sail Barge, awesome. Come on, man.
Yeah.
You would be able to get me to buy this crap if I could get it when I wanted it.
Yeah.
But it's
figure it out, man.
It's real easy to get over wanting it.
Yeah.
Whenever the impulse isn't there.
Yeah, why they're even able to still sell any of that shit is because we are not actual children, just children in our minds. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because children would have long moved on from something that they wanted like that. Like they wouldn't even think about it after a week.
Absolutely, you're absolutely correct.
So they must just clearly know that it's only adults buying these things. So they just don't give a shit anymore. And they're realizing that it's a dying market or something because good Lord. I mean, we've got on top of this a lot, but like the fact that you said it was the Luke Skywalker you weren't able to get yet. You've pre-ordered. Mm-hmm. That's ridiculous.
Oh, I agree.
Of all things, Luke Skywalker.
Like, yeah, it's still hanging out there for pre-order. And so then I saw an ad for it.
They had to deep fake him first or something?
I guess.
Good Lord.
And so I saw an ad for it. And I'm like, oh, dang. Oh, no. I looked closer and it said pre-order. It's like, still? Anyhow. Fucking so here's what I got this week, if you're ready.
I'm been ready, son.
Number one, I got a dog.
Yeah, you did.
I talked about him before, but listen, it's been 12 days. A dog's mine now.
Yep.
I took the Facebook post down. That's it.
You did your due diligence.
Yeah, he's mine, and I love him, and he loves me, and he loves our family, and my family loves him. So we've had some hairball moments. What's that?
Did you rename him?
His name is Charlie.
Charlie,
because he had no tags.
He has a Charlie vibe about him.
Yeah, he looks like a Charlie. I saw him, and I'm like, well, his name's Charlie, plainly, and. So, yeah, I named him Charlie, but he is the best. And, yeah, it's a little tense in the house sometimes because my male cat and stalks him. And then
yeah, cats are assholes, man. That's what they do sometimes.
If he steps out of line, man. But, we're getting there. We're getting there. Yeah. There's been a couple scary moments where I was letting him off the leash out in our backyard because we were back up to this big field and I was playing fetch with him and he loved it. He was having a great time. But then one day he's like, no, dog, I'm going to go over here. And then we couldn't catch him. And
he's a beagle, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He ended up across the street and I'm chasing him and he wouldn't come. And then the other day Stella was outside with him and she comes in screaming. Somehow his leash fell out of her hand. It got tangled around his leg. So she's trying to untangle it. And while she let go of it, he took off. And yeah, it sucks, man. But anyhow, I love that dog and I'm so glad he's here. And whenever I'm building lightsabers, he comes in and lays down near me.
Yeah.
And I show him on the stream and everybody's so happy to see him because he is adorbs. But here's the other thing I did, all right? You know how I used to always talk about Saga toys? And I mean, don't get me wrong. I still love Saga toys, but it's just... Now that I'm out of buying just anything that says Star Wars on it. I don't have the draw to go in there as much.
Yeah.
But we had been wanting to stop at a store that opened fairly recently in St. Louis County called the Minifig Store.
Oh.
And it is Lego only.
Nice.
And actual Lego brand stuff. Everything in there is Lego. And they have a lot of pre-owned minifigures, like classic ones, and what I would consider fairly priced.
Yeah.
You know, they have them in tiers, like $4, $8, and then you get some expensive ones.
Yeah.
But they also have this section where it's nothing but like Lego City, like town folk minifigures. Hundreds of them, and nice. The design your own minifigure, and you can buy Lego in bulk. You pick out a bag and fill it up, and they're like bricks, pardon the pun, where the more you buy, the cheaper they are per pound.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so rad, man. And they're great people. They're very knowledgeable. The store is super clean and well lit and well organized, and it's in a very nice area. And I hope that they succeed. One of the things, I bought one of their t-shirts.
Nice.
Which I will probably wear when I stream, and all six people who are watching will be like, oh, dang, what's that? And I'll be like, well, it's the Minifig Store. You should go there and tell them Eric sent you, and they won't know who you're talking about, but he did. Henry picked up some pretty cool stuff. He got a classic Jar Jar Binks from 1999. And it's funny because Henry is so knowledgeable about minifigures. That's what he says. Well, that's the classic Jar Jar Binks. That's not the one that they released in insert year here, blah, blah, blah.
That kid's going to be you. You realize that, right?
Yes,
I do. I mean, you are aware of this. Like, he's like, well, he's going to be, he's already well actually in his friends. You know that, right?
Yeah. Oh, sure. Well, so here's something, speaking of Henry and well, actually, his vocabulary is off the charts, the way he speaks.
Yeah.
So he said this the other day. He uses words that, like, it wouldn't surprise me if he referred to something as quite comical. That just sounds like something he would say. Well, anyway, I'll make this story as quick as I can. He bought this little basketball minifigure. And that series of minifigures had spring-loaded legs where you could put their arms out and you put the ball in their arms and pull them back and let it go and it'll fling the ball. Well, we obviously were not going to buy the basketball court stadium set. It's out of production. It's, you know, and it was a lot of money.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was a couple grand maybe or
No. It was just a couple hundred bucks.
I was going to say how I didn't know how old it was. I'd never seen the spring-loaded ones before. Yeah.
And this was, it's all already assembled and out of the package, right?
So
he's got that thing, but we're not going to buy that.
Yeah.
So we come home and he's like, yeah, that's cool. He's got this soccer field that he got from our buddy Metzi. Metzi gave him a whole bunch of his old Lego stuff.
That's cool.
And it's funny because he still calls it Luke's Legos. He goes, yeah, you know, I made this with Luke's stuff. And he made some really cool stuff. But anyhow, he gets this soccer field out. And I had to explain to him, well, there's these walls. You build out these walls. And that's what keeps the soccer ball in there. It's like foosball. It's got to bounce off the sides.
Yeah.
But he's in there playing it. And he does this thing where he's like, in hoping we'll say, well, Henry, goodness, what's wrong?
What's wrong, buddy?
And he'll do these things where he'll get mad and he'll be like, oh. Anyway, he's in there playing and here's what he says. This does not please me. And all I can picture is like some Game of Thrones stuff. You know, he's on this.
He was getting very Joffrey really quick.
Does not please me. I was like, what? Who are you, man? Yeah. But he was real proud of that classic Jar Jar Binks. And one of the things I love so much about this kid is he can play with anything in any scale. Like the mismatch and mixing of scales does not bother him in the slightest. So he'll play with his 3 3/4 inch figure ships with his Lego minifigures.
All right.
Yeah, it doesn't bother him a bit. He's got this, remember the, was it Play School, the little people?
Yep.
They're like chunky little things. So we've got an old pirate ship. He plays with that thing with his Pirates of the Caribbean minifigures, man. And it's just awesome to watch him. And he, one thing he did get that I thought was pretty cool was Joker's helicopter.
Oh.
With minifigure from the Batman Lego movie.
Heck yeah, man. That's a cool one.
$15.
Nice.
Yeah. It was sitting there fully assembled, all this stuff. Yeah, I'll tell you what they were had a handful of was the little shuttlecraft with Finn and Rose Tico. Mm-hmm. Those were not expensive.
Mm.
But I didn't get one. They did have two of the ginormous Millennium Falcon sets that like that are $600.
Oh, you mean the big boys.
The big one. They had two of them complete, assembled, sitting there. $600.
Man, I understand that it takes like a goddamn week to put one together, but like there's no way I'm buying one of those and not putting together myself. Like,
oh yeah, I would have to dismantle it completely and start over if I were to do that. But one of the things I just casually mentioned how cool it was.
Yeah.
And Amanda said, "You've got a Lego Millennium Falcon, don't you?"
Like, listen, woman.
I said, "Yeah, but it's the one from the Solo movie.
It's tiny compared to this, you fool."
Yeah, that's a man's Lego set right there.
You're like, remember when you were saying the other night that you wished it was a little bit bigger? Me too.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. But you remember how you said you wish the fun lasted longer? Well, it would if I had this Lego set. So one thing that's funny is that a long time ago, I ordered a Schlego giant Millennium Falcon set at a price that seemed too good to be true. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what?
Too good to be true?
It was. I hope that whoever that butthole was enjoys my money. This is a storefront and everything. But yeah, that ship sailed. I tried. The stop and payment on it was long gone. Anyhow,
so
that's what we got this week. I did, listen, hit up the minifig store in Kirkwood, Missouri. I suspect they do quite a few internet sales per day. That's probably what helps them keep going.
Oh yeah, you have to. If you have one of those stores, you have to.
Oh, which by the way, they're quite knowledgeable about all the Lego sets. And I was talking to the clerk. He had one of the Atari console. Have you seen this? The Atari VCS console Lego kit. And yeah. I saw that. I sent a picture of that to Steele. And he said, "Oh, man, I love the fake wood." I'm like, "Oh, that's classic. That's good stuff."
Clap, clap, clap. Sorry, really fast. Speaking of Lego, I wanted to say, and our streaming thing, I'm going to be building finally my BD-1 from Jedi Fallen Order on stream pretty soon. I've had it for like 7 months. I've not put it together. I'm going to be streaming the game again, and I'm going to put that together before the new game comes out next month. So
you better hurry if you're going to complete the game before.
I got a month and plenty of time. I do.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, both.
Yeah, don't talk. Shh.
Yep, you're okay. You're right. Who am I to judge?
You're just mad I'm living my best life. Is what you're doing?
I am mad. I'm jealous. It's a bunch of crap. My dad. I texted him and I was sending him a picture of Charlie, and it was cool because like the subject of how I feel about my life has popped up a few times lately. Mm-hmm. My life rules. Yeah. I just never thought I'd be where I am. It's very good. But he said you've got the perfect family.
Oh yeah.
And I said, "Well, Amanda's not a billionaire, so that's the downside."
Because I would
have no problems with being not the primary breadwinner in our family. As a matter of fact, it'd be great. So, in Cruiser reminds me of my ex-wives in that respect.
Fuck you.
You know, except he's not out cheating on me and then trying to make me think I'm crazy for it.
Yeah, I'm not gonna get into it.
Yeah. But anyhow, so they the Atari Lego set, real quick.
You remind me of my father. I was getting ready to do when the Joker speech from The Dark Knight. You remind me of my father. You know how I got these scars? Anyways, sorry.
Where he lies about it every time. Or it's a different story every time.
Yeah.
So So this Atari Lego kit, Lego yes, set, sir. Right? It is actually quite cool. I had no idea that it opens and this thing pops up and it's a little scene of a minifigure playing a tiny Atari with this thing. And there's like all this stuff on the inside. It's a little scene on the inside of it. And then it also comes with carts that pop in and there's like a cartridge holder. But then there's also these little flat versions of the cartridges, like thinner, that have a little scene from each one of the games. There's a lot going on with that That's Lego crazy. Kit.
Oh,
and it makes me want to get it.
Oh man, go ahead. Yeah.
Which is a mistake.
Get it. Yeah. Yeah.
For they had it at Target. I saw it.
Was it like 150 bucks or something?
I don't remember. Oh, they have some really cool ships, by the way, for in the Star Wars section. The Invictus, is that what it's called? The Vindicate? I don't remember.
Yeah.
It's really cool. I mean,
one of the IV words. Yeah.
Yeah, it's neat. But anyway, that's what I got.
I wanted to say really quick about the Atari. I didn't mention it, but we went to Tennessee a couple weeks ago, me and my family. We went to, I forget what it was, but basically it's like some kind of like one of those wacky museum type places where like they have like games you can play and then like they have like brief moments in history, like all kinds of, it's like a hodgepodge museum. It was pretty fun. But like there was this one room that was like technology of like, basically they were showing you all the technology that is now you're able to carry around on your phone. Right, basically what it was, right? And also like some retro stuff and whatever else. My daughter, one, completely enamored by a rotary phone that you were allowed to pick up. And, Dad, it's ringing. I'm like, yeah. We used to have to pick up the thing and dial a number. She was like, well, how do you? I'm like, honey, I love to show you all this. But like, one, I bet that thing's gross. One. And two. No, I didn't do that. But like, you literally pick it up, you press a button, it starts ringing. And it asks you if you can dial this number. Can you guess what number it is?
8675309.
Mm-hmm.
Is it really?
Of course it is. Of course it is.
Hey, listen, if anybody ever gets a hold of one of my Windows machines and wants to hack into it, that's the passcode. It's the only thing I can remember. You just have to guess the area code.
Yeah. And I'm guessing it's either Missouri or Illinois related. Look at you, fancy pants.
Yeah.
But they also had on the wall, they had displayed the Atari up there. Was it 8600? I can't remember the name of it.
8600? 2600.
2600 was the original. And it had like, you know, had all the classic games. Like, man, like I had one of those, but it was given to me by like one of my cousins or something when they had moved on to like NES or whatever. And like, I had to just get rid of this shit. I'm like, okay. So I remember playing on my little tiny like black and white TV with it had bunny ears on it and stuff. And like with those prongs you screw onto the back of the TV. And I was like, Max, you know what that is? He goes, no. Remote control. I'm like, no, that's a video game system. What are you talking about? He's like, that's a console. I'm like, you bet your sweet ass it is.
Yeah,
like,
it is.
And they had like a, they had, I've never seen there's an arcade game where they've made Pong, right? But it's like a literal rectangles and the little square that goes in between them. But it's like, it actually moves. It's like a physical thing on the inside. And I said, yeah, this is what, this was like cutting edge back in like the late 70s or whatever it was when it came out, right? And like, he was like, he's like, it is? I'm like, yeah. So next time you want to complain about some 3D game that you're finding that's not very fun anymore, think about this is what kids lived for. Right at one point. And they had it on that. And it was not nearly as responsive as your little analog stick.
Oh my God. Finding an Atari controller that still works well is tough. Yeah. Because what those have in there is little switches on each direction. I watched my dad work on several. Because he fixed electronic stuff back in the day.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyhow.
Yeah.
Real quick before I forget, I got a couple of real quick stories. I realize this is a podcast and it's supposed to be informative, but part of the reason you listen to this is because you like us on some level. So I'm going to tell you.
You like Idiocracy. That's why you're here.
Yeah. A couple of real quick ones, man. Yeah, the Atari, that whole thing was a scene, dude.
Yeah.
But
get your Pitfall on.
Oh, yeah.
Frogger.
Frogger,
man. Space Invader.
So I wanted to talk about the rotary phone.
Mm-hmm.
We, 1 year at church, we were getting ready to start this series. It's about like rebuilding your life, right? I don't remember what it was called. But my video guy asked me, hey, will you film this thing and do this voiceover? Nobody will know it's you the way I'm going to shoot it, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the things, and every time I think of rotary phone, one of the like the B-roll scenes they put in there was me slamming this rotary phone down like up close. Had to do take after take, right?
Nice.
Well, in this video, it starts out with me saying, you wouldn't believe the things I've done. My kids won't talk to me. And it's this whole narration, right? And you never see my face. You just see like me with my head down and stuff. I didn't have long hair at the time.
Being very dramatic.
It was a thing.
Yeah.
And we showed this promo at Christmas Eve, at our Christmas Eve service. And I remember being backstage, and there's a whole bunch of us crammed in there in the dark, and we have to be quiet because the backstage at our on campus is real small. And this thing's playing on this monitor. And it goes, and I could feel everybody turn and look at me and be like, is this your actual testimony? And I want to be like, no, I don't have any kids that I've alienated. This was in like 2008. And oh, everybody knew it was me. Everybody in the church knew it was me.
That's
so like, good. How did we think this wasn't going to happen? I believed you.
Believe you.
Yeah. Anyhow. Well, listen, that was stupid. But what I want to talk about next is something that wasn't stupid. And that was an episode of The Mandalorian.
Oh.
Yes. Okay. We got an excellent episode of The Mandalorian. By the way, next week or this coming week, the day you're listening to this, is going to be the last double Star Wars day for a little while. It's the final two episodes of The Bad Batch on the same day as the next episode of The Mandalorian. So let's talk The Mandalorian.
All right.
By now, everybody's seen the episode after the one we're going to talk about, but whatever.
That's
just how it rolls. Okay. In this episode, we don't pick up the thread of Dr. Pershing.
A little bit.
Which is whatever, man.
Yeah.
It's all like Mando-centric. And Bo-Katan and the whole bit. And for whatever reason, they're back on that beach. And the same kid who almost gets eaten by the alligator gets snatched up by this big bird. And they mention that, well, this isn't the first time this has happened.
It always gets away.
Okay, I'm going to stop you right there.
Woof.
Yeah. And you get up there and it's like you see, anyway, you've all seen the episodes. You probably heard everybody talk about it.
Yeah.
But I did think it was pretty good.
Mm.
I really did. I had a lot of fun with it.
Mm.
I enjoyed watching the Mandalorians train and the whole bit with Grogu and all of that stuff, you know. And
that caught me so off guard.
Of him being like, all right, kid, he wants to prove himself.
Yeah, let's get in here and fight. He's like, excuse me?
I'm a baby. I can't even talk.
Yeah. I can't know the way. You know?
And Ragnar probably turns out that, I didn't even make this connection. So Ragnar, the kid that Grogu has to go up against, turns out he's Paz Vizsla's son.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he's like, blood.
Like foundling, I don't know.
But Grogu probably did something with the paintballs in his little dart thrower wrist gauntlet that was like a attraction scent for that bird or that that pterodactyl.
He force brought him down. He's like, come on, yeah. Here, bird.
He's like, there he is.
Yeah.
Dude, you know he's got a connection with animals.
Yeah. You know what's funny is I actually forgot that it was the exact same kid that was got eaten the first time.
So one thing real quick I want to talk about, and then I'll hand it over to you, Cruiser. I really like what's going on with Bo-Katan. And yes. I really suspect that like her machinations that I suspected when she was, she didn't tell Din Djarin about the Mythosaur.
Mm-hmm.
I think after seeing this and how she talked to the armorer and all that stuff about, what would you say if I told you I saw a Mythosaur? She's like, visions are, you know, really something. And she's like, no, I saw one for real. I think she didn't tell Din Djarin because she thought she was crazy.
Yeah, you were right. And I mentioned that in my reaction video. I was like, and Eric was right, that son of a bitch. Like, I was like, I'm like, no way, she's scheming, dude.
Yeah, I thought she probably thinks I might be nuts.
Nobody's going to believe me.
Yeah. And so, but what I wanted to say is Amanda had asked the question that I think were on a lot of people's minds. And the Mandalorians, they can't take their helmets off in this sect. Mm-hmm. And they have kids. What are the implications of that, right? That's what she was asking. So yeah. That's as far as the conversation went. And then the next day, we're at Mr. Donut. We always go there on Thursdays. We're sitting there eating at the booth, and they were out of chocolate milks. So We got cans of Yoo-hoo. That's important for this conversation.
All right.
So Henry brings it up with the how do they smooch, you know, when they fall in love. And I said, you know, that's a good question, Henry. Your mom was wondering the same thing. And so I took these two open cans of Yoo-hoo, and I was smacking them into each other because they were like helmets, right? But not just helmets. And I was making all these smooching noises and going, oh, this is the way. And Amanda almost died laughing because she knew what I was getting at. But Henry, he's young and innocent yet. He didn't really pick up what I was putting down. Dude, it was the best. I'm so glad that episode happened just so I could make that joke. It was so worth it.
The innocence of children.
So what's your take on this whole thing, man? I know you did the reaction video, and I watched every second of it, but I just want you to tell the listeners now what you thought. Yeah, I didn't watch it, and he already complained to me about it.
Yeah, no, I'm really glad that you really take the time to absorb all my content as we're always on the same page. So the... No, but anyways, for real, though, I had that same thought. Like, I was sitting there thinking... While they were around that campfire, while his son was probably being digested above, like I was like, because Steele mentioned that on his Hawes thing, I was like, yeah, I'm like, why are they down there making a campfire, like having food and like telling stories about what you're supposed to do when you eat, you know, how to take our helmets off and eat, and like you just separate, never have a meal together ever, apparently, a real tight cult. I had that same thought. I was like, "How does he have a kid?" Because I was thinking, I was like, I didn't know like if they were that if they were allowed to have children because of like the like how strict their dogmas were, and everything else. Like they just seem like ultra, like religious is the wrong word because I guess you could call it religion, but I don't know if you can. Like it's kind of like different in a way, but like it's so like dogmatic in its practices that like it kind of takes away your individuality in a lot of ways, and like. I was wondering, are they allowed to have children, or they have to just find lost children or children who are lost to war or something? You know what I mean? And then I can't imagine like people wanting to have sex with that helmet on. And I go, wait a minute. No, actually, this is Star Wars. I'm sure a lot of fans have imagined and have acted out what it's like to have sex with the Mandalorian helmet on. It's like, never mind. Forget I said anything. And it's the rest of the armor. Cause she didn't say you can't take the rest of your armor off. She just said the helmet. So I don't know if that goes for both helmets or just one. I'm not sure, but that's how that goes. But during the whole time I was watching, I kept thinking like, this is cool, but I'm having a hard time getting past some of the weird shit. Like the whole idea that like, if you pursue him, she'll kill the child. I'm like, she fucking wouldn't do it anyways. Like, I don't understand. Like, what is the whole point of the thing, the pterodactyl, whatever, taking the kid, if not but to eat it? Why would you assume until we get there, that's not going to eat it? That was a weird kind of like thing. I was like, you should be there. It should be expediency to get that child back, you know? And when Bo-Katan came back without the kid, I was like, what? You just like, I saw where it went. And then I came back. I'm like, you were in that ship. You were in the ship. Like, I don't know what you had the advantage right there. Pick up some Mandalorians in the ship. Have him grab the kid from the feet. Shoot the thing down if you want to kill it. You know what I mean? Anyways, I'm sorry.
I do have some thoughts on that.
Have thoughts.
But it is pretty dumb, ultimately, yeah, when you think about it. But if I had to explain it away.
Yeah.
Here's what I would say. That's the guy's kid. But they're also warriors and tacticians.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And they know the habits of this animal. Mm-hmm. Because inexplicably, this is not the first time this has happened, yet they still hang out there and haven't killed this thing.
Yeah.
So they know, for however they know, that it's not going to eat him immediately. It's to feed her kids. Mm-hmm. They know that what she's going to do is get this thing and take it to her kids.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so they also figure that if they don't wait until the right time to do this, then the kid's doomed for sure.
Mm-hmm.
She'll hear him coming. It'll be a whole thing. And this is what we'll have to do. So when she's in the nest overnight, they're like, all right, we have to get under this thing far enough that she can't see us. And then we'll light a fire and everything will be fine. But we can't move while she's up there.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they knew. And so that is why they did what they did. Now, as a parent, I don't think I could sit back knowing that my kid's up there getting ready to be bird
inside
food
of her belly.
Yeah.
Another weird thing there.
Yeah.
By the way, some of the watchers of our video said that there are some birds that ride, you know how some birds like swallow stones and ride to help digest their food. She was talking about this watcher was talking about, what do you call them? Viewer was talking about how like some birds will swallow stones and their food to like pulverize it while it's inside their stomach to be able to digest it. And I was like, that's one plausible thing, I guess. That's cool. I never thought about that. And but like when like the sheer shock I had whenever it just like regurgitated it, like much like mother birds do, right, for their babies. And like he's still like, help me. And I'm like, how long was he fucking inside of that bird? Like, how long was he in there? And like, I was just like sitting there. I kept saying the whole time, like, Luke, you can't just keep doing this. You have to like suspend your disbelief this is all you're going to do. And right. I'm really good at doing that, Eric. I really am. But there was so much. I mean, I could do it enough to where I said that I really, truly enjoyed the last Star Wars movie that came out, right? Where everybody's shit. I'm like, no, that shit was weird, but I really liked it at the same time. Right. You know what I mean? So like, I'm really good at ignoring obvious flaws, right? It's just whatever. But like, you know.
So is your wife.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. Glad we're on the same way path there. But anyways, this is the way. But it was so like blinding in a lot of ways. I was like, come on, dude. And one thing we didn't, and I want to talk about really quick on that is whenever they did that, and you know, you're right, like my whole thought was like, because they didn't know, I don't know how much they could know about it because they didn't know where it lived because they could never get to it because of their fuel. They could never get to it. It always gets away. Remember?
Right.
So Bo was the first one to find out where it lived.
Right.
So like knowing its habit, I don't know how they could know its habits. That's what I was saying. But it doesn't really matter. It's fucking Star Wars. It's faking in space. Like, who cares? The fact that they're still on this goddamn planet when they know that Mandalore is not poisoned, I'm like, why are you still here? You know what I mean?
Now
like,
get the hell out. Yeah.
Yeah. Get the hell out of here. Or that Bo-Katan has a perfectly good planet ready to go. Only thing it needs is a base rebuilt. And you guys got a whole living structure. You know
well,
I mean?
And I don't know if that's the idea behind that is knowing that they're still, because they're so few in number that they need to remain in hiding. Now, personally, what I think is going to happen is obviously Moff Gideon is the big bad behind that.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's my expectation. Yeah. Bo-Katan, I think, is torn because what she has wanted, obviously, is to rebuild Mandalore and rule it.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's got this group of who she thought were weirdos because their entire belief system was based on this thing about the mythosaur, which probably wasn't real.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now she knows it's real. She's yeah. also found that these people think like her and are on her side and have welcomed her when her so-called own kind abandoned her as soon as things weren't going their way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's going to be a tough call for her as to whether or not she keeps this lifestyle. Mm-hmm. That's really what I'm trying to say. What I'm hoping happens is she has influence over them to remove their helmets. And that way you can have the cake and eat it too.
I mean, that's the only way I'm going to deal with it, if I'm honest, because the whole thing bugs me.
She finds some ancient text, right, mm-hmm. that shows that, oh my gosh, you guys misread this thing. There was a page right after it.
Yeah, and there was a knife that had the cutout to where it showed where you're supposed to like take the helmet off at this time of day.
Yeah. So I don't know why you won't. Plus, I mean, Katie Sackhoff, she's too cute to keep that helmet on all the time.
No, don't get me wrong. Bo-Katan has one of the coolest Mandalorian like designs. Mm-hmm. I think every time I see her and Katie Sackhoff like really embodies that character because she is Bo-Katan in every way. Like,
right. Yeah.
Like she's the voice of the animated mm-hmm. character, and now she's the realistic adaptation of her, and you cannot tell them really apart. You know what I mean? Like it's right. just it's it it if they flow together. I didn't think that the character would transition so well the way it has to live action. Obviously, we have other Mandalorians, but it was just like her design was a little bit more. I don't know if flamboyant is the right word, but like just more like slender and like, you know, like, but Katie's figure works so well with the animation style of Clone Wars without being like over exaggerated like them, right? It's so like, she knows Bo-Katan so well that the character just works so well. She loves her. So that's what's great about it, right? She loves playing the character in every way.
Right.
And it really shows. But yeah, we can't be covering her face up for too much. I mean, like I kind of mentioned this. I tweeted about it the other day. I feel like they've really like taken the spirit out of Din Djarin this season. And I don't know how to feel about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Unless he has some sort of plan that he's just not quite showing. Because, you know, a lot of people said that, like, you know, we thought that, you know, I've thought too that he was on this path of his own, that he realized that path he was walking, that, you know, the way wasn't necessarily the way. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I found this child. I love this child. He's a foundling, right? He kept calling him a foundling, right? But he revealed himself to save him. He said goodbye and revealed himself again. Like, there were so many things he did that was against his quote unquote creed that should say that, okay, I've moved on from this.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't. Like, because I'm guessing it's because he felt lost whenever Grogu was gone, right? That's the way they're going to validate it. And then he got a new love for it. But once again, like I only listened like the first like 15, 20 minutes of that episode of Hawes and Steel. But what he said is, like, you know, Steel was saying that, like, so much seems to have been invalidated by some of the events of season 3 that happened in season 2 and what happened mm-hmm. in Book of Boba Fett. And like, it's hard to know what is their actual intention, like the writers and the, you know, Favreau and Filoni, what their actual intention is. And how much of it is just the inconvenience of not having these extremely popular characters around, you know?
Right.
Especially in a time when Star Wars is like, we don't know what the hell we're doing. You know what I mean?
Well, and let's talk about that. Here I am finishing up this, my first ever watch of Lost.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been huge chunks of that definitely felt like, man, I don't know. Let's do this. This will mm-hmm. take up some time
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. And I feel like there's a bit of that going on, and more on what is going on in Star Wars in just a little bit. But mm-hmm. anyway, there's the Mandalorian.
Yeah. Well, there's one very big thing we did not talk about. And that was the return of Ahmed Best.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, very, very, very big part. And there was something that these commenters, watching my videos, have been very, very helpful. They made me think of something I hadn't even thought about. Because when I was watching that, I was thinking, like, whose ship is that they're escaping on? Whenever, because mm-hmm. Ahmed Best, of course, as you know, played Jar Jar Binks, and he is a Jedi now. And he's a Jedi who was on that show that I think you watched with your kids,
Jedi Temple Challenge.
Yeah, I never watched it, but yeah, I thought it was cool he was on it as a Jedi, you know. But I didn't think about this when I was watching it, but like, he saves Grogu, which is great. And I'm glad that he was the one that did it. That's a really cool thing to bring back. It was kind of sad to see Grogu's traumatic response to having that dream coming back. They made that guy look so sad. It was crazy. It affected me, right? And it impacted. And whenever they were escaping on that Naboo star freighter, not freighter, whatever it is, you know what I mean? That Nabooian ship. I kept saying, who the hell ship is this? Whose ship is this, and why are they allowed to just leave with it? You know what I mean? Like, what would, is this not some kind of royals? You know, who is this? And then, like, one of my commenters goes, they go, well, who was the senator of Naboo at the time? You know, it was Padme, right? But she was but that ship was on Mustafar. And I completely had forgotten about the junior senator, Jar Jar Binks.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, was that Jar Jar's ship? What a freaking cool tie-in that would be if that's the case.
Yeah.
That Ahmed Best and Grogu escape on Jar Jar's ship. That would be awesome. Man, that would be cool. But how cool for him, for Ahmed Best, to come back to be a Jedi. And I've said a million times, Star Wars doesn't deserve him. So like the Star Wars fans in general, for a lot of how he treated. It's okay not to like his character. It's really not okay to how they treated him specifically. You know what I mean? And
yeah,
and the fact that he even still wants to be a part of all of it, I think. And he released a video thanking all the Star Wars fans and stuff for the reaction to it and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But like, the fact that he still wants to be a fan of it and be a part of all everything. I understand there's money involved, whatever else, but I would imagine he isn't a person who he might be, but just into that, he seems like a very kind, genuine person. I'm surprised he wants to come back into it. Like, you know, Jake Lloyd has never been seen again, really, since his whole thing. So I'm glad he's back. I'm glad he's enjoying it. And I'm glad I don't like the word redemption. People keep saying, I'm like, there is no redemption needed. He didn't do anything wrong. Like, he played the character he was instructed to play. And that's what George wanted, and he played it well. So don't act like he needed to be redeemed for anything. He's a real person. You know that, right? Like, he's not that character. He's a real person. So, don't take he's redeemed. He didn't do anything wrong. That's such a weird phrasing that people are saying.
It is weird.
Yeah.
Well, one thing, I was talking to my best friend, Sal, and we were...
Jedi extraordinaire.
Yeah. He was saying, boy, it sure would be neat if everybody who was on a Star Wars YouTube show got a part in a show. So, yeah, that'd be pretty great.
He needs to make his way there somehow, some way, man.
Yeah.
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 But very cool. That was obviously the main highlight of the show, right? I would say it's the main highlight of the show if you are a fan of that was a really like big for the fans thing. I imagine if you were a casual watcher of the Mandalorian, you're like, why is everybody freaking out about this guy?
Right.
Like, okay. Because he's not like a well-known actor. You know what I mean? And it's just crazy that I remember seeing, I'm like, oh shit. And then I even put a little thing in my thing about it because I'm like, I kept saying Ahmad. I'm like, it's not Ahmad. Doing it wrong. And I just seen way too much NBA inside stuff with Ahmad Rashad when I was a kid. And it was just, sorry. Well, so anyways, that was Mandalorian. Like you said.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool, man. I was glad to see him. I like seeing him dual wield the lightsabers. And just to get, you know, and I'm sure we'll see more of that story.
Yeah.
But I thought it was cool how the armorer was talking to Grogu and telling him kind of what his path was going to be and made that Flavor Flav Mudhorn clock for him
so
to wear.
Gigantic, huh? I kept saying, I'm like, lady, I don't think you realize he's not getting much bigger than that. You do realize he's like maybe twice that size, and that's still not that substantial for that big old medallion you put on his neck.
Anyway, that's the Mandalorian.
I want to ask you one more thing about Grogu and his gear, right? I'm sorry. I pointed out that I feel like he's going to, they have to be that one, if they put any more armor on him, like on his head or like arm, whatever, at some point, I feel like he's going to have to become like completely CGI, because I feel like at some point, if you don't do that, he's going to start looking like a Build-A-Bear. What do you think?
Yeah, I could see that.
Because he's very puppety. I mean, he's like all puppet this season, like completely. Yeah. I've not seen much CGI at all.
Yeah. Yeah. The marionette stuff, straight up. But I don't know. Oh, by the way, speaking of Ahmed Best, Roger Clark, who played Arthur Morgan in Red Dead 2, mm-hmm. tweeted up, the big shout out to him, to Ahmed Best, and his pioneering of like mocap and stuff like that. That's awesome. I thought that was really rad, man. That's something people may not realize about Red Dead 2 is that the actors acted the scenes. Yeah. They weren't just voice artists. They mm-hmm. acted those scenes, and the performances you see in the game are what they did physically. Amanda and I did a Patreon episode about The Last of Us as a whole, because she doesn't play video games at all. And kind of like my whole driving point of the thing is, are you surprised at the quality of storytelling coming from the medium of video games? And will this make you want to play video games? And she said, no, absolutely not. But anyway, I tried.
You can always try.
Yeah. So let's talk about the Bad Batch. And okay. This episode, pretty great. Now, here's the deal. There's been a lot of tie-ins with what's going on in The Mandalorian and what's going on in The Bad Batch, especially with the slant on the cloning part of it. So Dr. Pershing, they stuck him in the mind flayer and turned that thing on. Well, they're doing the same thing to Crosshair. This doctor who Crosshair doesn't know where he is. And they're using this mind thing on him to try to get him to talk and all of these things. And we're not really sure what the plan for him is. What are they going to do to him? Well, one of the cool things that happened is he realizes that they are after Omega. Mm. Because what they're hoping to do is use kind of, I don't know if their thought would be to try to do kind of like what they did with Echo, where they're using his brain to act as a simulation for, here's what clones know. And here's what they would do, because that was the thing. He's like, I don't know where they are. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you think like them. You may be able to deduce what they would do. And he won't tell them. Well, he manages to send out a communication to the Bad Batch, the rest of them. And he's like, they're after you. Plan 88 is what he said. So it's 22 more than Order 66, I guess. But yeah, Plan 88 is what he said. And then they grabbed him. And so the concern, so now the Batch knows that he's reached out to him, and they know it's him. And so I think that's cool. That they're like, OMG, Crosshair. And he's actually looking out for them. Because, Omega saved him in the first season of The Bad Batch. And I think that maybe his turn and his change of heart is more all-encompassing than I thought maybe it was going to be. Mm-hmm. And so now we get to see what happens in these next two episodes, because they want Omega to give to Nala Se, I think that's her name, to get her to do, is that her name? The clone lady? The Kaminoan? Regardless, whatever her name is. Or Lamase?
Lamase, like Lamasa. I'm terrible at names.
Hawes made that crack. But regardless, the long neck lady, she wants that clone. And they think that getting Omega will make her talk.
Yeah.
And so that's they're going to be their thing. And what I'm concerned about is that Crosshair sending out this communication is what will lead the Empire to find the rest of Clone Force 99.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've got this whole thing with Cid in play where she's mad at him because of whatever. And, you know, they're on this beautiful planet, Pabu, that they don't want to have anything bad happen to them. And yeah. I don't know, man. I just think it's all going to come to a head. And I don't think there's going to be another season of this. They're not going to completely wrap up the story of these people in these next two episodes that we're getting on Wednesday. I just can't see how they could. And what I'm curious of, obviously, Omega's going to be in danger. Will they go the distance and actually have it be a cliffhanger where we don't know what the story is with her until the next season? Is that what's going to happen? I hope not, because I want to believe that everything is going to be okay for Omega. I suspect that someone that we've come to know and love will die in these next two episodes. I'm not sure who to put money on. I can tell you who I hope it isn't. I hope it's none of the Bad Batch, including Crosshair.
Yeah.
I don't know who
but you know it'll probably be one of the guys that who've been going the right way the whole time will probably die to save Crosshair.
Right. Yeah. If it has to be one of them, I'd rather it be Tech.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the guy. Don't get me wrong.
He's pretty vital to the crew, though.
Yeah. But what are you going to do, Wrecker? I mean, he's practically a child in a grown-up's body.
I mean, he's just, I don't think it's there's no good move. Like, I mean, if anything, I mean, maybe Hunter, honestly, as hard as that sounds, he's the leader, but like the person who is least, who could take over Hunter's role to most is Crosshair, but he can't take over Tex. He can't take over Wrecker's role. And it would create a whole nother, like, rift dynamic, something they have to grow from that would make you be able to carry on a third season, right?
Right.
You know, they'd be missing Hunter, their leader, the whole time. And then Crosshair has to step up into the role. Crosshair is, you know, everybody keeps saying that, like, these are like the Ninja Turtles, like they said when they first started, right? Mm-hmm. Because you got Leonardo, Hunter, you got Raphael, Crosshair, you got Donatello, Tech, and you got Michelangelo, Wrecker, right? They have the similar characteristics in their personalities. If one of the turtles were to die, if there's going to be three of them left, you would assume that either Leonardo or Raphael would die, and then, you know, the other would fail. Probably Leonardo would die, and Raphael would try to take over the leader position. Would be a whole, like, problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
If they wanted to carry on with that thing, that's the way you would go. But, you know, maybe they'll not kill anybody, and they'll just continue being in dire straits. But then you're like, okay, well then, will we feel the need for a third season? People will always have that, like, because, like we said earlier, Disney and Star Wars is a very tumultuous relationship right now. We'll talk more about it in a second. But, like, I think old Bobby I coming back is got that knife, and he's ready to cut whatever he feels like his dead weight. Mm-hmm. So, you know, even if it's a fan favorite, he doesn't give a shit. He's like, look, man, we're bleeding funds, and we have been since 2020. You know what I mean? So it's like, we are so unable to, like, let go of the reins of Star Wars in a little bit that, like, we can't just say, okay, it'll be fine. So I don't know, man. They're going to have some kind of provocative ending to make us come back for a third season, if there's going to be a third season.
I think there will be, personally. I think there will be, but we'll see. I guess we'll see.
Filoni definitely has influence compared to, like, other creators. So,
well, let's talk about then the whole thing you're talking about with the issues in Lucasfilm.
Yes.
Go.
Okay. Well, I always forget his name. What was the guy who was the writer of Lost? What was his name again?
Damon Lindelof.
There you go. So, like you said, it's kind of unclear now if he is gone or he isn't gone or what the actual story is there. But like it was reported on last week, like right as we were finishing recording, we actually put it right in the episode. They're like, hey, that thing you said earlier about Damon Lindelof is actually like seems to be true. Like he is Sam. See you later. And then like it was told that like somebody's already replaced him. Who was another like semi like famous writer for other things. And we've been down this path, right? Like many times now. It seems like the only time that we've had a successful relationship between a creator and Star Wars really has been Rian Johnson and Jon Favreau, right? JJ, you could argue, had a good relationship with him, but like he was basically just said, they were like, hey, we need you to make this work. Both times he came on, they're like, look, we just need you to fix it. Make it start. And then now we had this other guy who made a story that we didn't like for some reason. And now we need you to finish off the story you started. He's like, I really don't want to. Like, well, you know. And we've been over the other stuff a million times. It's starting to feel like it's kind of poisonous. And it's starting to feel like, you know, I'm not trying to like toot my negative horn, but I've been saying for a while now, like I would be surprised if we got a movie by like 2026, 2027, the way things have gone. And I said that like in 2020 because of all this shit they've been talking about, all the things back and forth, because they keep taking movies off the docket, putting them on the docket, take it off, put it on and off. That's not a good, it's not a good sign of things are going well.
And that's true. Yeah.
If you want to look at the glass half full, you could be like, well, we're just trying to really like develop a story and make sure it's the right one to tell and yada, 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 yada. But it's basically saying we don't want to spend all this money and waste it, and take a chance, right? Okay, fine. So much to the point that they brought Bobby Iger back out of like pseudo retirement to take over for the guy who took over for him. Mm-hmm. And now he's coming out saying that not only are we going to be really cautious about what we make with Star Wars, we're going to make it a lot less of it. You heard that, right? Right?
I haven't paid attention to it.
Well, that was a couple of weeks ago. Like they had one of those shareholder meetings, right? Where Bobby Iger has been always drop bombs, and like it's just like or nothing, right? It's either like really whoa, that's happening, or here's all the money we're making. And he said our focus is going to be on quality, not quantity, with Star Wars,
mm-hmm.
which is fine, but it also says that like all those hopes you have for a Star Wars movie coming out within the next couple of years really seem to not be happening, and it almost feels the worse because it sounds like they're going to be knuckling down even harder on Disney oversight, which is a big problem with how the movies have gone.
Right.
And you know, it's hard to say you blame them because they're really worried about the perception of Star Wars and how it's received. But you know, they were the ones that decided to end the Skywalker saga, right? They said we're shutting this down, that story's over, we're moving on. And then haven't come through with any of it except for The Mandalorian. You know what I mean?
Right.
And as far as like new stories for people that we didn't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't know, man. It's hard to be optimistic as a Star Wars fan. And then you have The Mandalorian itself. You know, we can always say that they'll tie it all up at the end, but they're going to have some good, I think, for people who like us, who really follow the story that we've been told and watched them several times and talk about it a lot, they're going to have to come up with really, I think, really good reasons as to why they have nullified the extremely emotional impact of the end of the second season of The Mandalorian.
Yeah. Well, and I think probably what happened is they wrote themselves into a corner and couldn't figure out what to do and make the show still as successful.
Yeah.
Without
Disney pressure.
Yeah.
Like, why'd you take Grogu away? Why'd you send him off with Luke? That was the whole point from the beginning, was that I'm not somebody who could teach him. I'm sorry that this show blew up so much that you didn't know what to do. But now that we're saying that the numbers are down about it and whatever else, like, I don't know, man. If they don't land this, right, this season, and Favreau's already said that he had major plans to, like, carry on with it, right? Mm-hmm. More seasons, more stories to tell, all kinds of things. Do they just can it if it continues to not do well, you know, quote unquote?
I doubt it. I really do. And I think one of the reasons is that they've got other shows' success riding on the back of it. For example, mm-hmm. Ahsoka. That's going to be a thing. And mm-hmm. I can't remember what else, but yeah, that's going to be one. Now, some of the other stuff that got taken off the table, like Rangers of the New Republic and all that, that doesn't matter so much. But
yeah, no.
Yeah, that's tough. I would hate to see them let it go. But you mentioned there was something said about Kathleen Kennedy. Is that correct?
Yeah, I didn't go super into it because I'm kind of like sensitive to that kind of shit because it's been said so many times by mm-hmm. people who were, let's say, less than accurate 99.5% of the time and who were also just right. hate writing. And this didn't come from that, but it was just basically that the continuation of Kathleen Kennedy's career would be dependent on whether or not they can get a Star Wars movie out in 2025.
Uh-huh.
And which, if that's true, that once again, that really might be a detriment to what they want to do with quality, not quantity. So, right.
Well, you know, I feel like both of us have said we're fans of Kathleen Kennedy and her body of work.
Yeah.
And I don't want to see her go. I think that the problems in Lucasfilm stem far beyond her.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many players in play with this that I don't know what to do with it, man.
Mm-hmm.
I love Star Wars. And I hope they figure it out. Now, Celebration is in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, we'll know. They'll have announcements. And now, don't get me wrong, they've had announcements before that we saw nothing from. But I think that they're under a certain kind of pressure.
Yeah.
Like the things that get said at Celebration tend to stick harder.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see.
Because it's actually coming from them this time mm-hmm. for sure. Like no way around it.
Right.
Like you're at their event.
Right. And so hopefully, you know, we'll get some clarity. Hopefully.
Well, the rumor from Bespin Bulletin was that they're going to announce 3 movies there.
Mm-hmm.
So we shall see.
Yeah. We shall see. Mm. But well, yeah. So, I don't have anything else Star Wars per se, but one thing we can talk about as we jump into the video game power hour here is, you know, we've got Jedi Survivor coming out in approximately 1 month.
Yeah.
And man, oh man,
almost exactly
that game.
Yeah. I want to play it too. Yeah.
Yeah. I want it right now. And if anything can make me play Red Dead less, it will be that.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I'm still mostly enjoying Fortnite. I keep getting my butt handed to me, and Stella and I haven't been playing nearly as much.
Yeah.
But I have enjoyed it.
And I've fallen off, too.
What's that?
I've fallen off of it, too. Yeah.
And I think that's just because I'm rusty, that I'm not doing as well. I had a single-player match that went pretty well tonight, but no dubs, man. It's been a while.
Yeah, I think Max and I won the first game we played together in the new season, and then I think maybe one since. Mm-hmm. And if you're not like in on the ground level of a new season and like really acclimating yourself to that map and like really getting in on it and figuring out what people are doing, like to all the strategies and the weapons and all the different weapons there are and new locations and whatnot, and really like focusing on it, and getting used to it, you really get left behind really fast by these Fortnite kids. And then they start, there's always at least two or three of them that are like just out of their minds and somehow get into your like lower ranking level. You know, like me and Max, like we are not super players. We are low to middle level players at the best. Mm-hmm. And we have good days and bad days. And there's some, but some of these high rank crazy players will get into your max and they just find that they know exactly what the weapon they need to look for, when to get it, and they know that it just obliterates you. There's it's that pulse rifle, you know what I'm talking about?
I haven't stumbled across one yet.
It apparently appears on that floating island.
Okay.
Yeah. So people will fight for that island as soon as it appears because that weapon's on there. And not only is it like a long range, like sniper type deal that obliterates people, but it also has a really good hip fire close up front and you can shoot really fast and it just melts you. And it's very, and it's killed me. I've been killed by it by a couple times and it's extremely frustrating. Another thing that's frustrating sometimes is that sword, because sometimes it's exceptionally good and sometimes it's exceptionally bad. Yeah. And I can't quite figure out why that is. I don't expect it to one-shot people, but I expect if I go through three of the power move things on one person, I manage to get that done, they should be dead. That's a whole process, and they should be dead.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. That weapon is frustrating to me because it's very hard for me to break the tendency of lock with the, or, you know, look down the barrel with the left trigger and shoot with the right. Mm-hmm. And I'll end up doing that by accident, just out of habit. Now, also somehow, and I don't know what's going on with this, I keep bumping into the map button with my thumb on the left analog stick, bumping into it. And suddenly I've got some, or like, God forbid, D-pad up for my inventory when I'm in the middle of fighting with somebody. Yeah. That does not typically go well for me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've got to pay more attention. I haven't streamed video games in a solid while. Mm-hmm. And I wish I was doing more of it, especially like with my kids, because that's when it's fun. But hopefully I'll get more into it. I'm not really playing anything else besides the usuals. I play Fortnite, I play Red Dead 2.
Yeah. It ebbs and flows, man. Like we're in kind of... It's hard to say that we're, it's weird to say we're in a dry time for video games because there's so many video games out there, but we really are, like, really honestly, since Elden Ring, we've kind of been in this really good game drought. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like that game, like, kind of captivated the gaming community, like, in a lot of ways. People who never played those games before got into it, and, like, really got into it after they got past the initial, like, extreme frustration of it and, like, you know, and persevered. And there's not really been a game that was challenging like that. And like Fortnite's been making lots of cool moves. They have that Creative 2.0 just came out where like you can build like legit maps inside of the Unreal Engine. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But through Fortnite. I downloaded it accidentally because I thought I had to have that in order to play the maps that were made on it. And that's not the case. So I have the map builder on my computer. I might try it out sometime. But they're doing a lot of creative things and they have always excellent like things you could buy in their store and whatever else. But they're not just focusing on that. They're focusing on the quality of life of the game itself. And and they're keeping that whole game going instead of like I've said before, what Call of Duty does, which is they had this really like they had Warzone 1 came out and everybody really loved it, but they had three different games. I told you last time about how they have like different developers making each of these iterations of the game, mm-hmm. the new multiplayer game comes out, and that's how they add guns and stuff, whatever, into the Warzone there. But they had a hard time adapting everything. It was always like kind of up in the air because you had so many different studios working on different versions of the game. It was like so weird that like you should have just kept it separate. It shouldn't have been a thing.
Yeah, that sucks, man.
Yeah. And so they took away Warzone 1. Well, they didn't take it away, but they made Warzone 2, and it's a lot different in a lot of ways than Warzone 1. And it took away a lot of the exciting elements of it, and it made it a lot more typical boring battle royale kind of style game. That's not like Fortnite, which has exciting for its own reasons. But like, they took away like the fun part of watching people stream it. It's kind of gone because it's really long, boring matches. It's not, just nothing exciting happens.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have these major companies making ginormous mistakes with their massively successful IPs. And we have the new Star Wars game coming out soon, right? But that's a single player game that's going to captivate people for a while, but it doesn't have staying power as far as like replayability in those kind of forums, right? Like Red Dead added that online element. Could you do that with Star Wars game? No, you could, but they wouldn't. They have no real reason to, because it's not an open world game technically. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, and so it doesn't really have that element to be able to build from. So I don't know. Like it's kind of wide open for somebody to come through with a game that captivates people. But I don't know if it's possible. It kind of seems like people like players have their expectations extremely high, and everybody's more competitive than ever. People are playing longer and longer and getting way too good at video games, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
And so, if something doesn't meet their unreal expectations, everything's shit. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
if you don't meet this level, then garbage. Even mm-hmm. though it's an exceptional game that you spent 6 years making. No,
right.
Trash.
Yeah.
Throw it away. Never playing it again.
Yeah. Well, speaking of exceptional games, you know, they've officially announced the DLC for Elden Ring is coming.
Who knows,
but it's coming. And
I think it's this year.
That'll get me sucked back into that.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah, I hope.
I mean, by that point, I'll be done with the new Star Wars game, and I'll be able to replay Elden Ring again for some sadistic reason. And then
I'm hoping it doesn't require a complete playthrough. It'd be nice if you could just pick up at the end of your last playthrough.
I bet it would.
And do whatever, but we'll see. I guess we'll see, but
yeah.
Anyhow, yeah. Well, buddy, have we forgotten anything? I feel like we've hit everything.
I think we did a stellar job per usual.
Nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, guys, if you want to hear more of this sort of thing, but not this sort of thing, because we almost never talk about Star Wars on Patreon, which is cool, because we are more than a Star Wars podcast.
Yes, sir.
We're also a Star Wars podcast.
Yeah.
So check out patreon.com/thebadmotivators. Lots of cool stuff going on over there where you can get the video versions of this masterpiece you just listened to.
Mm-hmm.
You can follow the show on Twitter, should you so wish, at @bad_motivators. Underscore is spelled out. It's not a symbol. So it's @bad_motivators, all one word. And you can check out TeePublic and Redbubble for some pretty dope merch. And if you're going to go see Taylor Swift in concert, you should get a Taylor Sith t-shirt to wear. That'll be neat.
Synergy.
Yeah. And, yeah, man, be sure to check out the links to Cruiser's Twitch and mine. It's down there in the show descriptions. And so the only thing I have left to say is this. Sweet, man. Well, hey, I think Taylor Swift is awesome. And until next week, we are out of here.
Goodbye.
The Bad Motivators.